It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and it is a Thursday morning. Giants are back in Jersey. Of course, they spent the past almost four weeks in Albany. And
I thought we had left you up there.
You thought you left me?
Yeah. But somehow you made it back down anyway.
So they're back in New Jersey, and really a practice today to get ready for preseason game number two, Paul Dottino against the New York Jets. It's the battle in New York taking place Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a game that's usually the third week of the preseason when you get to see more of your regulars than any other time during the exhibition campaign, and yet because of the way the scheduling fell out with the networks and who wanted what games and so forth and so on, the Giants and Jets will play in week two. Now, at some point either today or maybe even tomorrow, I would think today, we'll hear from Tom Coughlin as to how long he expects his first-teamers to play. You'll recall last weekend in Jacksonville, actually Friday night, he had his guys go about 18 plays before he brought in the second-teamers. And I don't think he's going to have the guys go more than maybe 25, if I had to guess, in game number two.
Well, what we did see was quite impressive on a number of fronts. Let's break it down. Let's look back before we do look forward. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, Big Blue Kickoff Live with you for the next 30 minutes, and we want to hear from you. We want to hear from fans excited about the season, regular season, right around the corner. 201-939-4513 is the phone number again. 201-939-4513. Also, we are all things social media here at the Giants. You can find us at Giants, and make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat. Any questions or comments about the show, we'll work them in as well. But again, preseason game number one, unfortunately, the Giants do lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars 32-31. But I really don't pay attention to wins or losses in preseason, Paul. It's all about an opportunity for guys to impress the coaches and make this club and kind of, you know, get rid of those cobwebs. Yes, you've got these guys that are in training camp and they're practicing and they're getting in shape, but really, you know, you get that game time, that game feel experience in these preseason games. Let's look at some pros. Martellus Bennett, tight end, looked impressive, and he's looked impressive throughout camp. David Wilson, very explosive, got a little taste of what he can bring to that backfield for the Giants. DJ Ware, I know you're a fan of his, proving that he's that third down back for the Giants now that Brandon Jacobs is gone. David Carr looked good, so God forbid Eli Manning goes down or gets injured, David Carr needs to come in for a series or a game. He looks somewhat impressive. And the defense was very aggressive. Adrian Tracy was a guy that we wanted to keep an eye on going into this game, and sure enough, he impressed Coach.
Yeah, Tracy had a couple of sacks. It looks like he's got the inside track on the fourth defensive end position, vacated by Dave Tollefson, who went to the Raiders as a free agent during the offseason. Justin Tateau thought that he was going to be that guy, but then he hurt his foot in training camp and is yet to get on the field. They're saying his ankle and his foot is not anywhere near ready. And I'm sorry, Anita, but if you can't get on the field, you can't win a roster spot. And so Adrian Tracy's making the most of his opportunity.
And let's look at, unfortunately, with the pros come some cons. Some of those muff punts, those fumbled punts, Hosley and Jarrell Jernigan, Tom not very happy with that.
Well, nor should he be. Jarrell Jernigan looked like a deer in headlights last season as a rookie, and I can't help but remember that punt in New England when he put his hands above his head like a baseball outfielder and tried to field it. I mean, he was so lost. It was sad. It really was. You felt bad for the kid because he's a good kid. He's trying to learn. He's trying to make an impact. Works so hard during the offseason. And then what happens in the preseason opener? He just flat out takes his eyes off the ball, as Carl Banks said in the booth next to me, and muffed it. And it cost the Giants a touchdown. Same thing with Hosley. Took his eye off the ball. Jaguars turned it into a touchdown. And before you know it, the Giants' two-touchdown-plus lead is gone, and they lose the game. Tom Coughlin knows that cannot happen during the regular season. That's why he's contemplating putting Dominic Hixon back there, because he knows Hixon can handle the ball.
And also Prince. Unfortunately, Prince, it looked like the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted to kind of see what he could do. We know he's a rookie last year. This is his opportunity, unfortunately, with Terrell Thomas and his knee injury, to be a starting corner for the Giants. And they went to his side. They went to his side a lot, and he got beat by Mike Thomas.
You know, it looks to me like Prince is playing a bit conservatively out there. I think that he's lost his confidence, Anita, quite frankly, because he comes in as number one pick, misses the first half of the year with that broken foot. Then when he gets in the lineup, he doesn't play very well. Part of it is because he wasn't ready. Part of it was because he said his foot was still bothering him. Then you'll recall he got benched at the end of the season because they just couldn't tolerate his mistakes anymore. Well, I don't think the offseason's done anything to enhance his confidence. And when I see him in practice, at least throughout training camp in Albany, for every play he would make, he would then wind up playing soft and allowing a pass completion in front of him. It was a very up-and-down camp, as far as I'm concerned, for Prince Amukamara. So I think that he's really got to pick it up these next couple of weeks in the preseason if he's going to be ready for opening day. He needs some kind of feel-good feeling to get him into the proper frame of mind where the Giants are going to be able to count on him. I'm going to make a prediction for you, though, right now. If Prince does not get his act together by midseason, J-Ron Hosley is going to be a starting corner on this team because this kid has a tremendous amount of ability. He is coming on like a house of fire, and they've already now started working him in the nickel as the slot corner. We saw that last week in Albany.
Right.
And the more and more he gets on the field, the more and more you want to see him. I think he actually has a chance to wrestle that job away if Prince is not careful.
And one more, Con, in regard to preseason game number one, and kind of just bringing this up just to see what improvements that we want to see the Giants possibly make in preseason game number two against the Jets on Saturday night is the defense gave up a ton of yards to Rashid Jennings early on in the game in that first quarter. He was able to really run wild, in a sense. So now you've got a Jets team coming in. You can anticipate that they're going to be running a lot of the Wildcat with Tim Tebow, and you've got Sean Green. Look, one thing that the Wildcat does do for an offense is it enhances their running game.
Right.
And so, I'm very interested going into this game against the Jets. Will they run a lot of Wildcat with Sean Green back there, and how the defense is going to stop him?
Well, you know, Anita, that position right now, in my mind, may have overtaken the left tackle position as the biggest one of concern for Tom Coughlin. He's got defensive tackles dropping like flies. Of the guys who are anticipated to be or expected to be in the regular defensive tackle rotation, as we speak this morning, Linval Joseph is the only healthy player in the interior of the Giants' defensive line. Rocky Bernard, although he practiced the other day, was unable to play against Jacksonville because of a sore knee. We know Chris Candy's had off-season knee surgery. He's on PUP. Quite frankly, I think it looks more and more doubtful that he'll be ready for opening day. Sean Rogers has a blood clot in his leg. He's out for the season as he undergoes treatment with blood thinners. That's a bad thing. Marvin Austin has himself a creaky back. We don't know exactly where he stands. He was sent to the hospital for tests the other day. So what are you looking at? You're looking at Dwayne Hendricks right now, a couple of guys they signed yesterday off the scrap heap, and potentially, according to reports, Marcus Thomas, who did not re-sign with the Denver Broncos during the offseason. Quite frankly, I like him a lot. I think Thomas would add a lot to this team. I think he'd be a great pickup, especially against the run. He's very athletic and quick against the run. Doesn't get much of a pass rush. But this is an area of concern, no question.
And, of course, they've added two defensive tackles. We'll see them today at practice. And also, word is that they added LaRon Scott, a corner and special teams player, kick and punt returner as well. So three new faces we're going to see here today at camp.
And I'm sure they're going to try to get him some snaps on Saturday against the Jets as well.
And the phone number's out, 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Bruno in Atlanta.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, John and Anita?
No, it's Paul and Anita today, Bruno. It's Paul today. That's okay, though. You'll get John tomorrow, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right, yeah. Hey, a question for you guys. It is a little shocking to hear about the defensive tackle. My main question is about the left tackle position, Will Beatty.
Yeah.
With the eye injury, the back injury, everything that's gone on with him, when he was healthy, I don't know if what are your thoughts on him in our run game? Because, I mean, obviously we had a woeful running game last year, and I mean, are there thoughts of moving Dave Beal back to left tackle? I mean, he's proven, you know, I don't know, you know, Locklear, is he the answer? What do you guys think?
All right, well, let's talk about Beatty first. Beatty is more of a finesse left tackle than he is a mauler. Now, my preference is to have a mauler at left tackle, but that's just me. The Giants some years ago in the 2000 season got by with an aging Lomas Brown who played a finesse left tackle, and they won the NFC Championship and then lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. So it's not like you can't get it done that way. Beatty's eye surgery was successful. He will wear a shield. Right now he's battling sciatica in his lower back. That is problematic because you just don't know when it's going to act up. Tom Coughlin says they're giving him medication to try to keep it under control. But how do you know that he's not going to wake up one Sunday morning and say, Coach, I can't play today? That's a bad deal. You just don't know. So you're right. It's an area of concern. Hopefully the medication will work and he'll be able to play the full 16 games. If he does not, I think that Tom Coughlin is definitely considering moving David Deal back to left tackle because I don't think the Giants want Sean Locklear to play an extended amount of time at that spot. He's probably safer on the right side.
201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you. We want to hear from Giants fans. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. We're keeping it in Atlanta. LaVon is joining us. LaVon, welcome.
Hello, yes. Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I'm a huge Giants fan. I used to live in New York. I now live in Atlanta. I just wanted to say I love the show. I follow you guys every day to find out what's going on with the team. I got two questions. Two questions, one comment, one question. The first question is about the offensive line. I think Jerry Reese does a great job building the team. I think this is one of the most talented teams we've had in a very long time. I just don't know why he doesn't invest more draft picks in the offensive line. I think if he was to address that and maybe get some young, talented guys at that position, we wouldn't be having so many issues with who's going to play left tackle, especially, and worrying about the running game. And my other comment and question is I think Michael Strahan, do you think when he's up for the Hall of Fame in 2013, is he going to get in first ballot?
Well, let's take Strahan first. I think no doubt in my mind that Michael Strahan is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, I saw the guy take every snap here while he was with the Giants, and he was certainly a very complete ball player, played the run maybe even better than he got after the quarterback. And you had to watch him every day to really understand that. Maybe you want to address the O-line after I just got done talking about Beatty. You know, Anita, Jerry Reese has spent some money bringing in guys like David Bosse. They've spent number two picks on Beatty and on Chris Snee. It's not like they've ignored the position, but it may not be full of all pros necessarily.
Well, I'm not saying that the Giants have ignored the position, but let me ask you this. Again, you've been covering this team a lot longer than I have. When was the last time the Giants drafted a standout, like sensational
stud
first round blindside Michael Orr type, let's protect Eli Manning even while he sleeps, defensive tackle? When was the last time?
Offensive tackle.
Well, first round.
You can't even go there. You'd have to go to Jumbo Elliott, who was not a first round pick, but he was a stud for a long time.
But when has the Giants ever drafted a offensive lineman stud like this is the guy who's going to anchor our line blindside for the next 10 years?
You know, it's funny you mention that because I'm thinking back to the Giants' left tackles during the Super Bowls. David Deal, obviously, was here. Lomas Brown in 2000. Brad Benson in 86. He was a free agent. Lomas Brown was a free agent. Jumbo Elliott was a draft pick but was not a number one. So their most successful teams have not had number one picks at left tackle.
But I understand that. But what I'm saying is that's not the philosophy here, is it? Is it?
Well, their philosophy here is going more for defense whenever possible,
right,
and then skill positions on offense, and then see if you can coach up offensive linemen to get them to that higher level.
Exactly. So that's the philosophy. That's where I was. I was leaving the breadcrumbs. And I know it took a little, we derailed there a little bit, but I finally got you. Exactly. That is not the philosophy here.
I tripped over the crack in the sidewalk, but I got there.
So would you be shocked? Would you be surprised if that was to happen next year, next draft, or?
Well, I thought if they had an opportunity to draft a stud offensive lineman this year, a stud tackle, that it would have merited consideration. But as it turns out, they weren't thinking about an offensive tackle till earliest second round. So I guess I would be surprised if they ever took a number one pick at left tackle. It's just not their way.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. This season, the motto, the slogan, last year was finished. This year it's build the bridge. Are you aware of this?
Yes. Build the bridge. My suggestion, by the way.
Have you received your Build the Bridge T-shirt yet?
No, I have not.
No, I have not.
But I had thought that Don't Look Back would have done the trick.
Don't Look Back. That would have been but from what I understand, the idea here is to build off of how they ended last season. Because let's face it, they really, you know, they didn't start the season too great. You know, they were a 500 team at one point in time.
Now I'm going to ask you to follow me. So they
ended really strong. You know, no one really anticipated them to win the Super Bowl. They did it. So I can see where the slogan is build the bridge, as opposed to why would you not want to look back? Why would you not want to pick up where you left off, Paul Dottino?
I thought about this very carefully.
Uh-oh.
And knowing Tom Coughlin as well as I do, and remember, I knew him when he was an assistant here some years ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tom usually does not think about the past. He's one who is a stickler for it's over, it's done, bury it. It doesn't exist anymore. He's very, very animate about not looking back. And yet, he has decided with Build the Bridge that he is going to peek over his shoulder and look at the final six games of last season. That is very un-Coughlin-like. So when I came up with Don't Look Back, it was really very simple because it smacked me in the face from everything I know about Tom Coughlin. A, don't look back because he's always thinking about the present and the future. And B, because there are other teams in this division who have gotten better and in this conference who have gotten better. Don't look back over your shoulder at those teams because you got to keep forging ahead. Hey, what can I say? I tried. It didn't work.
Did you email him? Did he take your motto into consideration?
I did. I did have it pass through the hallways, but it never – I don't know if it ever made it to coach or not. But nonetheless, he has made his decision.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you. Let's head out to
Jackson, New Jersey.
And we've got Tim standing by. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi. I got a question for you. The Giants signed Gary Brackett. He won Super Bowl 41 with the Colts.
Brackett? Why would they sign him? Maybe you're friends of his. I don't know, but he's thinking that Gary Brackett, the former Colt, would be a good addition to this roster. I don't see the fit. But I will tell you this. There's one thing the Giants are very good at doing, and that is scouring the waiver wire, especially for those final cuts during the last week or two of the preseason. And they will be looking very carefully because, as we said before, a bit thin at defensive tackle. It's something the Giants have to consider. I really think, too, Anita, and I don't think it's likely, but I think if somebody should pop free, a veteran who still has some gas left in his tank should pop free along the offensive line, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants gave a workout to someone at that position either.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul, let's discuss wide receiver Hakeem Nicks. Off the pup, and it looks like he's going to start practicing on Monday. Your thoughts? I know the Giants have really wanted to kind of take it slow with him and build him up and bring him along gradually. Your thoughts on him suiting up and practicing Monday? And do you feel he'll be ready for regular season game one?
Yeah, he's been saying all along that he would be. And then at the beginning of training camp in Albany, he was saying that he thought there was a chance he'd be ready for preseason game number three. I think clearly he is still on that schedule. Now, whether the Giants allow him to play against the Bears in exhibition game number 3 remains to be seen. I think there's certainly a chance they might even hold him out till the Patriots game in week number 4, before they go into the regular season against Dallas. Let's face it, you and I both know Hakeem Nicks has something going down with Eli that doesn't exactly need a whole lot of shaking going on to get the rust off. I mean, they know each other real, real well. So do they need a whole lot of reps? They can get the reps in practice that they need without necessarily getting them in the game. So I'm real glad to see Nick's back. And I'll tell you this, you and I both saw him up in Albany doing some running on the side. He looks good. The only warning sign is that he also looks thicker. And that could be an area of concern if he's got to get up to game speed quickly.
All right, well, let's dive into that a little bit. When you say thicker, it doesn't actually mean like he's been eating bags of M&Ms. We say thicker, we just mean more muscle mass. He's stronger. He's bigger upstairs. And the philosophy behind a wide receiver doing that is so that they're stronger off the line. They could fend off corners who press or play tight on them. When did Hakeem ever have an issue with that? If that was his off-season program, is to get thicker, to get stronger, to have upper body strength, I never saw that as a flaw in his game.
Agreed.
So I'm a little perplexed as to why he would bulk up.
Agreed. And it's something that I'm going to be watching very, very carefully when he finally gets into games, whether it be a preseason game or the regular season. I'm going to be watching his movements. I'm going to be watching his speed and his quickness. I'm going to be watching to see if he's got some trouble, getting away from people. You know, you mentioned to me, I think, David Boston. You said, he looks like Boston because upstairs he's just gotten bigger. Hey, you know what? Boston had a heck of a career. I tend to think if it's not broken, don't fix it. So I probably would have preferred Hakeem to stay the way he was. But you know what? Let's get a look and see, and maybe it'll work out.
201-939-4513. Just a few minutes left in the program. Also wanted to ask you about Ramsey's Barden. I know that he hasn't been practicing because of an ankle issue. But really, and you and I have been talking about this all camp. I mean, this is his big opportunity. This is Ramsey's big chance, big opportunity. Your thoughts about him in the Jacksonville Jaguars game, and because there is so much competition here, and Jernigan's had such a great camp, where does he stand right now? How important is it for him to play these next 3 games, Paul?
Let me illustrate it for you this way. The train is pulled out of the station, and Ramsey's Barden is dragging along the rails by the caboose. Okay, it is practically pulled out and left. It's 4 years for Ramsey's Barden now, and for a variety of reasons, he has never produced. He has never fulfilled his potential. He has never played up to his skill level. He is in a dogfight right now for that 6th wide receiver spot. Yes, he caught a pass the other night, but the truth of the matter is he does not play special teams, and unless he has a spectacular rest of the preseason, I don't think Ramsey's Barden is in good shape to make this final 53.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Canton from Seaside Park. Canton, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Hi.
Oh, how you doing?
Good to talk
First
to you.
Off, my question or comment, I want to just say about your creed, don't make mottos. you said don't look back. I tried. Paul, I tried. I love you, but I just don't get it.
That's okay.
Anyway.
That's okay.
I wanted to talk about Hakeem. These guys have mentioned that he bulked up, and it's pretty much, to prevent, guys from pressing him, and he can get break out at the 5-yard line and all that. But I think it's more the reason he did that was to prevent injury. He hurt his shoulder last year, and I think he lands on his upper body a lot and all that. I think he just bulked up to help out with that. What do you think?
Well, he got hurt in Washington. You're right. Opening game, he lands on his shoulder, has the bruise, the strain, and everything else going down. But he was able to put forth an outstanding season once again, 1,000 yards plus, as you know. I don't know. I mean, I haven't actually had a chance to really pull him on the side and discuss his strategy here. But I will tell you, when you see him, you will notice it. I mean, he looks more like a running back or a tight end almost than he does a wide receiver now. He's not quite as lean and as trim as he used to be. But is it going to be to his advantage? Only time will tell.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Montana. Jason is standing by. He wants to talk. Wide receiver is a hot topic, Reuben Randall. Welcome, Montana.
Hey, how you doing, Ian and Paul? Just wanted to talk about Reuben Randall. If he grows into what everybody's thinking he's going to be, I mean, he looks really good. You know, it's going to bring a situation of the of basically the number two receiver between Cruz and Randall. Do we think that ever Cruz would go back to the slot?
Well, the plan now is for Cruz to be the slot guy with Hickson probably wide or Nix wide. When they go to the three receiver formation, I thought that maybe Jernigan was going to be in line for that. It doesn't look like it based on what I'm seeing now. I still think Cruz is going to be in that spot. I know, Anita, you feel very strongly that Cruz needs to stay there.
Well, I think Kevin Gilbride feels very strongly that Cruz needs, and I'm sure Eli does as well. Look, keep in mind, receivers are, you know, have a ton of talent. We know that. And Victor Cruz has a ton of talent. But understand that he is a product of the system as well. And he will even tell you that himself. You know, he's very fortunate that he plays in Kevin Gilbride's system in the slot position, and that has really definitely helped him out in regard to the season he had last year. So Eli's comfortable with him there. Eli trusts him there. It's probably the most difficult position out of all the wide receivers, in all the positions where the wide receivers play, in regard to understanding the playbook and reading the defenses with Eli being on the same page of, and they mastered it last year. Don't fix something that's not broke. So I do anticipate Victor Cruz to stay in the slot regardless. I mean, in fact, I recall one day we were up in Albany and we saw Cruz in the slot and Jernigan is the wideout. And I turned to you and I said, what is going on here? Jernigan cannot play wideout. He's going to get destroyed by big, strong corners who are just going to push him out of bounds. So it just goes to show you, I think besides me, And my wants and desires of Cruz staying in the slot and drafting him on my fantasy football team, I think that Kevin Gilbride is going to keep him in the slot. So
note this, Melroy. It took almost a half hour until we finally heard about fantasy football. She had to get it in there, though. But the caller wanted to originally, though, mention Reuben Randall. Mm-hmm. And
you have a man crush.
Well, you had to be impressed with the touchdown against Jacksonville, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice grab.
Absolutely.
Adjusted to the ball, reached up. Grabbed it at size point.
You don't have to sell me. I'm on board.
It's kick and play.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
I know, but you've okay. got like I know. He's got a
kick and play.
It's like it's a man crush.
He can play, folks.
It's a huge man crush.
He can play.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Did not see Dominic Hickson play. A little disappointed by that.
Sore hammy, but Tom Coughlin said we know what he can do anyway.
Right. So what do you anticipate? How much playing time do you think he'll get with the Jets?
Well, it depends on how much he practices this week. I think he'll see a few reps, quite frankly. He wants to get out there. You know Hicks. He never mm-hmm. wants to be on the bench. But they convinced him, you know, to dress in street clothes the other day. I think he'll play a little bit, but not much. Again, this wide receiver position, because of all of the questions at the back of the depth chart, it's the kind of thing where I don't care if Cruz or Hickson take any snaps. I need to see these other guys. They need opportunities to prove either they do belong or don't belong on this roster. Your Standbacks, your DePalmas, your Douglases, your Bardens. David Douglas, by the way, does have a bad quad. I saw him limping around the other day. He did not play against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was very upset about that. I really wanted to see what this young man can do in a game because he's had such a sensational, really a phenomenal camp. So I'm hoping that he'll play against the Jets.
Coach, just before the Jacksonville game, got him out on kick returns in practice because they were trying to see if he could expand his horizons to give him a better chance to make the team.
Right. So. This is a Twitter question. Again, all things social media here at the Giants, at Giants. You can find us on Twitter. Hashtag Giants Chat for any questions or comments on the show. This is from Duncan, huge fan.
Across the pond.
Yes, from England. Was less than half a game enough time on the field last week for Eli, and will he play more on Saturday? Of course, we're talking about preseason game number two against the Jets at 7 o'clock.
I don't think he's going to play more than a half. Could he play a full half? Possibly. I would tend to doubt it. I got a feeling he might go into the second quarter, and then they'll pull him out again. I mean, hey, Duncan, let me ask you something. Yeah. Do you really think Eli Manning needs the work? I will say this, and we talked about this as well last season. He had a horrible camp and a horrible preseason and then went on to have a career year. So, you know, in terms of what equates to what with Eli, it's not a big deal. And I think more than anything else, if they're not going to play a lot of Cruz or a lot of Nicks or even a lot of Hickson, those new receivers, they could just assume work with Carr because they need to show what they're going to do. David can throw to them. You know that when Eli's in the game in the regular season, he'll be primarily throwing to Cruz and to Hickson and to Nicks anyway. He's not going to be throwing to those guys for the most part, at least not early on.
Let's talk about the defense and specifically the linebacker position. Bully, we know he's been dealing with the hamstring. Herzlick really has had such a sensational camp. Thoughts of him against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and what can fans expect preseason game number two against the Jets in regard to that linebacking core?
Herzlick is playing much more assertively. He's active. He looks quicker. And we all know that he loves to hit. So it looks to me like Herzlick is on the ups right now. And if he continues to show that throughout the preseason, I'd say there's an outside chance he could wrestle that starting spot from Chase Blackburn earlier than I thought. Originally, I was telling people it might take a month into the regular season. You know what, folks? If Herzlick keeps going, you might see him against the Cowboys. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. He has played that well in training camp. Coaches has just really enjoyed his production to this point.
Thoughts on Keith Rivers? I mean, Keith Rivers, because of the hamstring injury that Boley's been dealing with, Keith Rivers has really gotten a lot of action, practice, and, of course, in the game against Jacksonville. Your thoughts on him, and how do you feel, let's say, hypothetically speaking, everybody's healthy. How much playing time can you expect Keith Rivers to get?
Well, you know, Anita, it's interesting because I think the Giants are in a position where they can mix and match their backers depending upon a matchup, and they can also use a rotation much like they were trying to do with their defensive line the last couple of years. I keep telling people, I don't even think it's important who starts a particular game. It's all about how many snaps they get and who's on the field in what situations, especially down the stretch of a game. That may depend upon what the opponent brings to the table, not necessarily who's a better player for the Giants' D. Rivers is very active. He's healthy. He looks good. He's still trying to learn the defense. They've got him in the outside. Now, some people thought he might be playing some inside this year, too, and maybe competing at the middle linebacker spot. I don't think that's an issue right now. They're very happy with the Herzlick-Blackburn combination, and I don't think Rivers is going to play any middle linebacker from what I could tell. But he does look like a guy who's out to prove something because you remember when he came out of USC, highly touted and yet often injured with the Bengals.
What about Jaquan Williams? I know he's been dealing with a hip issue. How serious is that hip issue?
I don't think it's very serious. I've seen him working out on the side with the trainers throughout training camp. I suspect, I don't know this for a fact, so maybe I shouldn't speculate, but I would suspect if we were in the middle of the regular season, they would be more apt to try to get him on the field. I don't think it's that serious. But then again, one never knows what's going on inside somebody's body. But I would say this about Jaquan Williams. You and I both know he's got tremendous ups. He is a very, very important part of what the Giants want to do this season.
So, again, looking forward to preseason game number two. The Jets, Saturday at 7 o'clock. We'll have our pre- and post-game show on WFAN, of course.
Actually, this week, because of, I think, a Mets conflict, we're on WCBS-FM 101.1. If you're tuning in on the radio in New York, I believe it's 101.1 FM WCBS. There are a lot of conflicts going on still with baseball season, and I understand that. But for the time being, it'll be on CBS FM.
So it's CBS 101.1 FM?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll be coming to you from the stadium. Exciting. The Battle of New York. Do they still win the Snoopy Trophy from
it's still there
from MetLife? It is MetLife Stadium,
yes,
so
it is.
Right.
The Snoopy Trophy still exists. I hope they're shining it up. I mean, you know, I'm thinking it's probably getting dusty after being in a closet for a year.
You're funny. But an interesting game. Like, I'm really excited to see this game. From what I understand, the Giants are going to see a heavy dose of Tim Tebow, Tebow Mania, here in New York City.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. 1 second. You're Woody Johnson.
No.
No, just for a second, okay?
Woody Johnson.
Put on a dirty baseball cap. You can be Woody Johnson.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. You love headlines. Mm-hmm. You brought in the best headline you could possibly bring in Tim Tebow.
Right.
You're playing at MetLife Stadium and your home opener. Remember, they were in Cincinnati last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. He's going to have Tebow out there as soon as he possibly can. He's probably telling Rexy Boy right now, hey, five snaps for Sanchez or whatever it's going to be. Get my man Timmy out there. And he's probably going to want him out there for at least a quarter and a half, if not more. And he's going to want him to carry the ball. And he's going to want him to run all kinds of gadgets and wildcats and everything else. And don't be surprised if there's all kinds of special scoreboard shenanigans and fireworks going off, too. Because that's the way the Jets like to do things.
What a way to make your starting quarterback feel wanted. But so with that being said, let's talk about this for a second. There's an interesting debate on whether or not Tebow should have come to the Jets. I mean, the Jets have a starting quarterback. Why bring that circus? Why bring that fiasco? Why make your starting quarterback, Mark Sanchez, feel that way? But at the same time, there's an argument that in the red zone, there's no one as unstoppable as Tim Tebow in regard to the way that he runs the Wildcat better than anyone else. And if you have a mind like Tony Sperano, who knows how to engineer plays and orchestrate, no one is going to be able to stop the Jets once they get in the red zone with Tim Tebow at the helm. So, but what does that mean? Does that mean once you get in the red zone, you're going to take your starting quarterback off the field? So really, you're only going to use Mark Sanchez for 80 yards? Hey, thank you, son. Come on, sit down, have a hot dog, grab a Coke. Let Tim Tebow score the touchdowns.
So great way to build leadership, huh?
So you're going to do all the dirty work and then bring Tebow in for all the glory. The entire situation is just so intriguing to me and how this is all going to work and how it's going to operate.
Let me go back before your time to some guy named Vince Lombardi. Vince used to just say, we're going to run what we're
going
to run.
What the heck's going out on here?
You know, we're going to keep the play simple. I don't care if everybody in the building knows who's getting the ball. If we execute effectively, we're going to do what we want to do, and you're not going to stop us. Now, this smells, as far as I'm concerned, of the Jets, A, trying to market themselves business-wise, but B, knowing perhaps that they don't have enough on this team to really be very good. And so you have to resort to gadgets and trickery and all of this other stuff to try to do some things on offense. Because you know what, Anita? If Mark Sanchez was really that good, he'd be on the field all the time. Right?
Yes. However, I'm also hearing that with the addition of Tebow, it's kind of elevated Sanchez's game. It's going to be an interesting situation, and I'm also interested to see how much playing time Tebow is going to get against the Giants. Another dynamic is that Cromartie has been practicing at wide receiver. The Jets have had some injury in the depth of their wide receiving core. Cromartie feels that he is the best wide receiver on the roster, even though he does play as a DB. But interested to see how much playing time Cromartie is going to get.
Well, let me ask you another question. If Antonio Cromartie plays wide receiver and gets rocked by Kenny Phillips or Antrell Roll or one of the other Giants defensive backs and is slow getting up off the field, not because of a dirty hit, but because of a clean football hit, what do you think that's going to do to the Jets? Not good, right?
No.
If you're Rex Ryan, you tell Antonio Cromartie, shut your trap, you're a cornerback, you're not playing wide receiver.
Well, he's been practicing all week at wide receiver.
It's a bad, bad, bad idea.
I agree with you, but it's happening, so we're going to see it.
We're going to see it, and for the Jets' sake, I hope it doesn't backfire. But I think this is an organization that has just lost all direction. I don't think they know who they are. They're trying to figure it out, and they're trying to put a bunch of makeup on a real ugly picture right now.
And last but not least, Sean Green. As I said earlier, in seeing the way that Jennings was able to rush against the Giants' defense, especially in that first quarter, to me, Sean Green is a much better running back than Jennings is. Mm-hmm. The Jets have a much better offensive line than the Jacksonville Jaguars do.
Yep.
And with the addition of the Wildcat, it really opens up the running game. So I'm very interested to see how the Giants not only stop Tim Tebow in this Wildcat phenomenon, but also what they do against running back Sean Green.
Yeah, Anita, you know, this defensive tackle issue that we talked about at the top of the show really throws the Giants' rush defense into a bit of a tizzy. I mean, you and I both know and appreciate how well Chris Canty played last year. He was a major, major force for this team, especially in the second half of the season as they went on to win the Super Bowl. And you can't underestimate the loss of having him on the sidelines. And that in itself would be bad. But then on top of that, to tell me now you're going to lose Sean Rogers, you're going to potentially have some issues with Rocky Bernard in his knee. Marvin Alston, your young prospect, is going to have back issues, and you don't know how much he's going to be able to play. Holy smokes! I mean, honestly, Anita, I didn't think going into training camp up in Albany last month that the Giants' defensive tackle spot was going to be full of questions about who was going to get it done. I thought the questions were going to be who's going to make the team on the back of the depth chart. This is a whole nother problem now.
Again, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to be coming to you throughout the season right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. So lock it into your cell phone. Also, all things social media at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Excited tomorrow.
How can you read that, by the way?
My phone's cracked, so... Sorry.
Yeah, it looks like a spider's web on the screen.
I know.
Okay.
So tomorrow, very light walkthrough, right? Getting ready for the Giants, the Jets.
Yeah, we don't get to see that.
Right. And then, so we're off tomorrow, but the Jets game, Saturday, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
At MetLife Stadium.
Yep.
Okay. So follow everything on Giants.com. We'll have our pre and post on CBS 101.1 FM. And then we'll be back here at the facility on Monday to take you recap preseason game 2. Look forward to preseason game 3.
And I want to remind people. I think Neela, you can confirm this for me. The game in New York is going to be on WCBS Channel 2 because it's treated as a Jets home game. So the Jets will be televising that game on WCBS Channel 2. Here in New York. But if you're out of New York, and again, Neela, I want you to confirm for me, I believe NFL Network is picking up the game nationally, but if you're in New York, you watch it on Channel 2. Nationally, you'll get to see it on NFL Network, and I know a lot of people, obviously, are Giants fans and listening around the country as they tune in to Giants.com, so you can do that as well.
Really quick, I know we have just a few minutes left in the show, and I want to get these questions in. This is from Big Blue Interactive. Knowing that Coach Coughlin is adamant on pass protection and ball security, how is David Wilson progressing in those areas? This is something we've talked about pretty much all throughout camp. Anything you saw in that preseason game 1, besides his explosiveness, more in regard to what he was able to do in pass protection?
No, not really, Anita. You know, the few plays that he got in for did not require the kinds of things that we have doubts about. You know, he did not fumble in the few times he touched the ball. He certainly proved that he's got as much speed and quickness as we thought he did in a real game, although the preseason still is not quite as fast as the regular season. Not that there was a doubt there. Pass protection, we didn't really see him do. And we didn't really see him, necessarily take too many hard hits up the middle either. So there are still things I want to see out of him.
This is from Optimus. Will the Giants elect to not keep 3 tight ends if they have in the past with a backup O-lineman playing the spot on short yardage?
Boy, because of the numbers crunch that they're dealing with at defensive tackle, because of Beattie's questionable back, because of the wide receiver crunch that we really don't know what's going to happen back there, the kick return crunch, Anita, they're going to be looking to try to steal bodies from other spots all over this roster to try to figure out how they can fortify these paper-thin positions right now. Do I think they would keep one less offensive lineman?
No,
tight end.
So you think they'll go with 2 tight ends as opposed to 3?
I think it's possible. I don't think they want to, but I think it's possible. Look, they're going to go with 2 quarterbacks. That we know. Tom Coughlin's been doing that for years.
Right. So, and that was the last question before we signed off. I wanted to share with you, the Giants elect to not keep 3 quarterbacks that they have in the past, providing themselves with another roster spot. If so, what will happen to Perilou?
Well, You know, 13 times last year he bounced on and off the practice squad. Now, will it be 13 again this year? Will he break his own personal record? I don't know. But no, Ryan Perilou is not going to make this team. David Carr is the number two, and that's what the Giants will do there.
Again, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, we thank you so much for tuning in.
It's time to go.
And it is time to go. But stay tuned to Giants.com. We're going to have a ton of interviews for you from today. Giants players made available from 11 to noon.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then practice is 1:30 to 3:30. So still a lot more coming your way here on Giants.com.